Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I want to share a simple message for a few minutes about the reality of what happens in heaven, what happens with God when you and I decide to live a life of surrender and devotion. And just to say a little side note, you don't want to miss next Sunday. I'm going to be speaking on a message ahead of Sunday Christmas called Home Alone. I know you've never heard of that before, Home Alone. And we'll be doing an illustrative thing. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't miss it. Next Sunday is Home Alone. But if you have your Bible, I want to read a scripture to you getting into our thought today, which is in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah is the last book of the Old Testament. So sometimes it's a little tricky to find right there in the middle with all these other Haggai and Obadiah and those and those. But just go to Matthew and turn one page back. You'll run into Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, your king has salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey." Put a title to this message. It's something I want to share with you today. It's when Jesus borrows something, he gives it back better. The title is when Jesus borrows something, he gives it back better. Let's pray. Father, we love you and I thank you for every heart in this room. We pray right now you'd speak to our hearts for the next few minutes. Thank you, Lord, for every life, Lord. Lord, our hearts were celebrating with people that have said yes to Jesus, not ashamed of the gospel in a world sometimes that lives confused. And Lord, we thank you for the clarity and the simplicity of Jesus saves, Jesus set free. So, Lord, we just pray right now, Father, that we would decrease and you would increase. Lord, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit all across this room that's there online with us at every campus today. We just believe, God, you're going to touch lives. Someone's going to say yes to you today. We love you so much in Jesus' name. And everyone said a good amen. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, "I'm so glad you made it to church today." Come on, look at the other person you didn't want to talk to and tell them, "You look like you could use some church. You're looking crazy. You're looking crazy." It's interesting how something can have little value in one person's possession, but great value in another's. How in and of itself it has little value, but placed in the right hands, its value and its meaning increases greatly. I'll give you some examples of this. Think about a Spalding basketball, just a plain basketball, maybe $20 tops, but you put it in the right hands and it becomes worth thousands, if you know what I'm talking about. Just a little example, a little old school Michael Jordan, come on. For all you Jordan haters, get some. Going old school. I didn't like his Hall of Fame speech. He has an ego issue now, but back in the day he was good. Think about a piece of wood that gets whittled down into the shape of a baseball bat, how it's just normal, it's just regular. But put in the right hands, it can really make a difference and change the game. Come on, Babe Ruth, that's what I'm talking about. We're going way back in the day. You think about a flower. I know I could hold flowers. I could take flowers and try to put arrangement together, but a normal flower is just an average flower. It's a common flower. There's millions of them. But you place it in the right hands, like a Sandy, our very own Sandy LeBlanc, and it can refresh a room. It can change the mood of a church. It can do all kinds of things when you put them together and they're arranged and they're sorted out properly. We think about a plain parchment piece of paper, a blank old piece of paper. It doesn't have much value, but a few words on it and the right sentences and especially the right signatures, and it changes an entire country. Can I have a good amen? That's the Declaration of Independence. And we think about our nation because of those signatures and those commitments. You think about a normal white blazer. It's just a white blazer. Can't really do a lot. Doesn't go with much. But when you put it on the right person, come on, somebody. Talk to me, Johnny Green. Where are you at representing? had to give you some love. So to Wildcats, class of 72, talk to me. Oh, yeah, 72. Brother looks good for 48, 58, 57, something like that. I'm just joking. Johnny's 31. My goodness gracious. What about a microphone? I mean, you just take a single microphone. I mean, it's just a microphone. It amplifies your voice, but you put this in the right hands, and you have something beautiful, incredible, and life-changing. Come on. How many knows that's a big difference between me holding the microphone, if you know what I'm talking about? It's amazing what a microphone can do in somebody else's hands right there. It can kind of change the world, make a difference, and somebody can fall in love with that person and marry them. So you get the picture. You get the picture. This is kind of the illustration. This is what I want to focus in on. This is what God does. See, we give Him our lives. We give Him our words. We give Him our work. We give Him our skill. We offer up to Him our talent. We give Him our offerings. When something moves from our hands to His hands, He takes the common and makes it uncommon. He takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. He takes a ham and blesses a fam. He takes a bike and uses it to bring love to a child. It's amazing when you think about it. The value of what we have to bring even today in our miracle offering. And we see this throughout Scripture. We see where things were given to God, given to Jesus, given to the work of God, given to the purpose of God, and how God takes it and takes that common thing and then makes it uncommon. I love two of these windows in Scripture. One is in Matthew chapter 21. We've already referred to it in Zechariah. Matthew chapter 21 is where Jesus is going back into Jerusalem for the last time. It's His triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's so meaningful. It fulfills Scripture. Everything about it has purpose attached to it, because several days later, He will come back to Jerusalem, but He will be arrested. He will go to the cross for us. But then this entry into Jerusalem says so much about the purposes of God. And the Bible says that right before this happens, that there's something that needs to go. There's something that our Lord needs to borrow. He needs to borrow something because He doesn't have it. It says, as they approached Jerusalem, they came to the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples and said to them, go into that village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey. And He says, right there, there'll be a colt with her. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them and that He will send them right back, or He will send them right again. And one of the verses of Scripture says that the Lord has use of them. That the Lord has use of them. And that's exactly what they do. They take this, and as they begin to untie this colt and they begin to bring that, the Bible says they brought the donkey, they brought the colt, they placed their coat on it, that Jesus was led into Jerusalem, and people threw their coats down on the path. They threw palm branches, which we know as Palm Sunday, and they begin to sing, Hosanna, 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 Son of David, who comes in the name of the Lord. A borrowed donkey. I love this. Just blesses me that God chooses a lowly donkey, something so ordinary, to bring the master into Jerusalem. You got to think about, what was that donkey worth before the parade? What was the donkey worth after the parade? How did the master of the donkey feel about it before Jesus rode it? How did the master feel about it after Jesus rode the donkey? What's the lesson that we're learning here? The lesson is that we may see something and we may think it has little value, but He sees great potential in something that we call small or common. Jesus and the Word of God adds value to it, and He gives it. When we give it, guess what? He gives it back with the wow factor. Well, how would you like to be that donkey that night? Sitting around with all the other little donkeys that they've been running around through the city, and kids been beating them to death, been hitting them with switches, all in the dirt, all in the nasty thing. That they've been riding by little kids, pulling their mane, pulling their ears. But this donkey has been riding Jesus. I bet he walked into the stable that night looking like a prancer. What's prancing through there? He's been riding the Savior. He's not a common donkey anymore. I love this other passage of Scripture that is in Matthew chapter 27. which when I was reading it again yesterday morning, I just was meditating on this scene. And I really believe out of everything that's given in Scripture, out of everything we're going to talk about for a few minutes that God borrows, that God receives and gives back, I don't think there's anything greater in Scripture that has more power and more meaning than this borrow right here. This is the moment that all eternity is waiting on. This is what the earth groans for. This is what mankind is hoping for. It's all held in the nest of this borrow. After Jesus goes to the cross, you and I know because of Jewish custom that he cannot stay on the cross once Passover kicks in. So they've got to do something. And so Jesus has to come off the cross and he has to be placed in a tomb. But Jesus doesn't have a tomb. Come on. He hasn't saved up for life insurance. He's not been down to the funeral home to secure him a grave plot. He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have a home to lay his head in. So what are we going to do now? What are we going to do with the body of Jesus? How is Scripture going to be fulfilled? And then all of a sudden, something moves on this man of wealth, this man of resource, this man of blessing, this man of influence moves on him because he's had an encounter with Jesus. And the Bible says that this man of influence and wealth and blessing goes to Pilate and has a request. The Bible says that Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pilate. He himself is a disciple. He says he goes to Pilate and he requests the body of Jesus. And Pilate orders it to be given to him. Look at verse 29. Joseph took the body, 59, took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. Then here is a key verse. And placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of rock. Joseph takes the body of Jesus and has an idea, there's nowhere to bury him. I've got this tomb that I've been planning on for my family. It's our future. It's where, our legacy and our ancestors, all of our family, will get, my kids, my wife, all of our family will be there together in this safe rest place. But something moves on him to say, I think the better idea is even though it's valuable, and even though I've planned on keeping it, and even though it's a part of our plans, and it's a part of something of our future, I think I'm going to give it to Jesus. And it's right that the body of Jesus be placed there. Can I tell you, Joseph did not give it thinking he would get it back. Come on, somebody, where are you at? He gave it to Jesus. He sowed that incredible gift into the plan of God. But guess what? Jesus would use it, but Jesus only going to use it for 3 days. Come on, somebody. He's only going to use it for 3 days. That was a good idea. Just think about Joseph. The empty tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ is the most significant place on the globe. It's where resurrection power took place. He'd only be there a little bit. Why? Because the power of God would hit that place. And our Savior is risen. He is not there. And Easter is celebrated all over the world in every time zone by billions of people. Think about that idea of giving, of lending. I just love the whole idea. Why? Because you never know how or what God will do with your surrender and your devotion. I just want to stop here and kind of give you the big idea of the day. Here's the big idea for the day for all of us to remember. What we give to God, we are really just allowing him to borrow back and use what is already his. Why? Because you see yourself as a steward. Boy, it's a great day when you step from ownership to stewardship. It's a freeing day. It's a peaceful day. It helps you in your life when you make that step. Why? Because do you really give something that he gives back to you with eternal purpose? When he gives it back to you with a life change or with a soul saved or with a child that's been valued. It's just amazing how God injects meaning and significance into what we have when we give it back to God, he places a greater value on it. I think that's why so many people struggle in life and they don't get this. I think that's why so many people can live their life. They get it, they grab it, they steal it, they hide it, they hoard it. And they bundle it up and they sleep with it and they tuck it away and they keep it all to themselves and they get more and they grab more and they get more and they grab more and they hide more and they hoard more. But guess what? They get up in the morning empty. And they get stuff they couldn't wait to have. I gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it. They get it and wake up the next day still addicted, still empty, still unfulfilled. Even though I gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it. You get it and then you don't want it. And you wonder, and you get mad at the very thing you get. Isn't it interesting how people can live their life getting something, getting something, getting something. And that, wow, because when they get it, guess what? In me and of myself, when I'm just the owner of everything, there's no value injected into it. God injects meaning and significance to the work of our hands. When you realize that I work to be a blessing to my family, I work to be a blessing to my wife, my husband, my children. I work to be a blessing to others. I give, I own, I create, I innovate. I'm diligent to be a blessing to other people. What happens is God is valuing, God is injecting value into the work of your hands. Can I tell you something? My father-in-law and his brother, Uncle Jimmy, they've never seen a piece of meat that wasn't worth injecting something into it. Where you at? Holler at me. Talk to me. Come on. Let me tell you, men in Louisiana, they got to inject something into it. Man, you go like up north, you just eat a piece of meat. There's nothing in it. It's like, hey, did y'all inject something into it? Never heard of that. We're from Minnesota. Brother, get you a needle. Get you a, what do you call those things? A syringe. Get you some marinade, get you some blend, some seasoning, some flavor. Hoo yeah! Put something in it. I mean, that's how it works. And then all of a sudden, when you cut into it, boy, the juices and it's so delightful, it's so scrumptious, it's so enticing. Wow. Whoa. Man. That's what happens with our life. Plain. Average, normal, rat race, running the roads, doing the deal, living like everybody else. But then all of a sudden, when we give him our time, we give him our talent, we give him our words, we give him our work, it's like God just injects love and mercy and grace and forgiveness and passion and peace and purity into our little old life. Bam! Everywhere we go, we're making an eternal difference because God has gotten involved. We've given it to him and he has given it back to us. We have lent him what he already gave us. We've given back, we're letting him borrow something that he blessed us with. And then he blesses it again. Can I tell you I want to inject two thoughts into this idea. Here's the first thing, just to bring some application, just to teach us a little bit, then we'll close out. Here's the first thought. You have something for God to borrow. You do. And you know what? He brings it back to you better, unlike Dino Rizzo. You let me borrow something of yours, I don't have any guarantees. I may give it back to you broke. I may give it back to you with a scuff. A scuff on it, you know, a little scuff on it. That's what I call it, a scuff. I happen to have the microphone. It's correct. It's a scuff. I may borrow something of yours and make it bigger. I may stretch it out. That's very possible. I mean, if you lend something to somebody, a lot of times it will come back to you not the same way. There's no guarantees. Can I tell you, when you give it to God, it always comes back better. Your common becomes uncommon. Your natural becomes supernatural. Your ordinary becomes extraordinary. He can create great value out of things. Why? Because he extends it beyond the temporary. Here's the second thing, and I'll finish with this. We give, he gives back. In all kinds of ways. And he makes it fun. What was $15 now is a backpack in Swaziland that's been given a children's cup that is now connected to a care point that now is teaching a child that has HIV about Jesus, and now he has value and hope for the future. He borrows a boat, he gives it back full of fish. He borrows a lunch, he feeds the multitudes. He borrows perfume, he turns it into burial ointment. He borrows an upper room, and there comes a place of holy communion. He borrows a tomb, and today tons of people will experience resurrection power, and a lost soul will be saved. He borrows a ham and blesses a fam. He borrows a bike, and a little girl experiences love from a stranger. He borrows a snack and brings healing to people that are fighting cancer. He borrows your tithe, he borrows your miracle offering. He builds a church that gives a Bible away, that reaches a soul, that gets a call, that builds another church, and on and on and on and on. He lends, we lend back. He even lends back even more and even more blessed. That's how the whole thing works in the kingdom of God in our lives. I want to live in that kingdom. I want to live with that priority. Let me just say this. I'll close by saying this. The true value of money is what we do with it. Period. You can have a lot of it, but if you don't do the right things with it, it has no value. The true value is what you do with it. Everybody's blown $100. But you've sown $100. Maybe you've seen somebody blow. You ever heard anybody get blessed? And then 5 years later, they blew it all. And what do you say? They have nothing to what? Show for it. And then what you analyze and figure out in your own life, they didn't value it. Had nothing to do with the currency. Had nothing to do with the paper or the note that stood behind it. Had nothing to do with In God We Trust. Had nothing to do with Ben Franklin. Come on, somebody. It had everything to do with that person's value of what they had. They did not value what they had. But have you ever run into somebody who maybe didn't have a lot? Oh, come on, somebody. But they made it much. They made it much. Why? They valued it. People waste time. People waste relationships. People waste their life. Why? They don't value their life. It's in what you do with it that makes the difference. Let's be a church that will allow God to make the most value possible with our resources. I hear everyone today saying, I'm looking for the deal of a lifetime. I found out when you live and give and surrender and stay devoted to others, when you have that mentality, you literally are a part of a deal that extends beyond a lifetime. That's what I want to live for. I want to live with the fingerprints of God. I think about these little bikes right here. I think about next Saturday and next Sunday when we bring this little bike out, right? I don't know who gave this bike, but somebody gave this bike. And we bring this bike out right here, and there's a little girl that's going to walk up, and she's going to place her fingerprints all over this bike. Going to ride it all around her apartment, going to ride it all around her street, going to ride it in her house. Come on, somebody. Gonna run into stuff with it. Gonna run into people. She may fall down and get hurt on it. Her fingerprints are gonna be all over. But there's two other sets of fingerprints. There's the fingerprint of the person who had an idea to take their $55, their $75, and buy a bike and hand it to God. Say, hey, God, I'm going to work. So I work at 70 hours this week. But can you put your fingerprint on it? It'll change your life. It did for Eric and Derek. Check out their story.
Hey, we was born in New Orleans. We was raised in Baton Rouge. We was always, you know, we couldn't never stay in one spot exactly. You know, we always moved from one place to one place to one place to another. And we never had like a stable home to say that we stayed in for like in about like every 6 months, every 4 months, or every 3 months, we had to move to another spot and stuff like that. It wasn't always the type of environment that you always want to, you know, leave your kids or stuff like that around, but, you know, we had no other place to go.
But this is where we was growing up, where everyone on the block was selling, you know, illegal drugs and stuff.
Sometimes maybe, you know, the lights was off. Sometimes maybe the water was off and we couldn't take a bath and stuff like that. We felt like we was in a bondage. And then whenever we had to separate from mom, it got a little rough. You know, but we always kept our faith in God, and we always knew that it was going to be okay.
We want to be still connected with our mother. We talked to her recently, but she's just like all over the place. So, well, we found the Dream Center when we moved right across the street on Mission. We was outside on our porch, and they had a van come that was from the Dream Center, and they were saying, come to the after-school program at the church from whatever time it was, I forgot. That was the beginning of us meeting the church.
Well, whenever I first committed my life to Jesus, I really felt like, you know, the Holy Spirit came all over me, and, you know, He really did something to me that night, actually, because I had got on my knees and I asked God for forgiveness, for life, for joy, for everything that, you know, He had in store for me.
I want to say it was Motion, and we went to Alabama. That's when I fully, like, felt the Holy Spirit. I fully committed all my ways to Him.
Being a part of the Banner Ridge Dream Center and Hinton Place Church family, it really, you know, touched me to know that, you know, not only your birth family could be your family.
The Dream Center have been a big influencer. It kept me on my feet. It began new doors for me. Like, I'm a server. I just love serving people.
When Jesus, he didn't came to be served. He came to serve others. I really saw that. I really can really reach out into others in a mighty way.
That being a server is really a big deal. Now me and my brother stay together with another guy by ourselves. We have jobs to pay for our bills. We have opportunity to go to both campuses. And it's just the people that we like be involved with, the church, is like we could relate on any level. And I just thank God for the people that He placed in my lives. I want to go to school of ministry to either just learn more about God and be challenged more. Or I really do want to get a degree, because everybody telling me you should have a degree in something. So I wanted to get a degree, and if I be a youth pastor, you know, start from the next generation.
I want to be a state trooper, and I believe that my story could really help many kids. I mean, it don't matter how big your testimony is, it don't matter how big your struggle is, it don't matter how big your problem is, that, you know, God could overcome anything, you know. God is big. He can do anything, you know, and it just takes you to be willing to step up out of your comfort zone and just give Him give Him your all and just, you know, watch Him work, you know.
Yeah. Hey, I want Eric and Derek, why don't y'all stand up? Church, show your love for these young men. God is changing their lives. The twins. That's cool. Hey, everybody be seated. Stay right here. Y'all stay standing. Stay standing. Here's what I want to say to you. See, what you thought was a $10 offering, what you thought was a $1,000 offering, what you thought was a miracle offering, what you didn't know as you give, maybe last year or this year, whenever you give online, what you're doing is you're injecting hope and healing and a new beginning and a dream into somebody else's life. That's what we have to remember. You're injecting and you're investing in another person. Come on. Well, I love those brothers. They're a blessing. 5 minutes apart, twins. And our church is better because of them. Come on. Y'all be seated. Now, tell you, I wonder how many other Eric and Derek's are going to be right here in this common offering when God touches it and makes it uncommon. I believe the possibilities are limitless because we give it to Him.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.